to go?
We are.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mondays and Fridays we grab wisdom and knowledge and figure out and solve pretty much the problems of the world. Brother Johnny, Houston, Texas, Johnny.
TVJ.
Mike Ditka, Naples, Florida. Mike.
How are you, Steve?
I'm fine, Coach. But I'm
Johnny. Where are you, TVJ?
I'm in Jonesboro, Arkansas. Nathaniel's in his first college golf tournament, and we're excited to be here. And just as a side note, Nathaniel's former coach at Lamar University, Brian White, gave DA Points a putting lesson 5 days ago. Johnny.
Well, I'll be darned. How'd DA do?
He won.
Well, these putting lessons are becoming quite valuable.
Well, we asked Nathaniel, said, did Brian White, the head coach of Lamar Golf, give you a putting lesson? Nathaniel said, yeah, but I didn't like it. So when's somebody going to give me a putting lesson, Mike? I need to be as good as you.
Well, I need Johnny to give me one.
Yeah, okay.
What'd you say, Mike?
Brian's eating the vine.
Mike, you told me that Johnny brings everybody to his knees with that Calamity Jane putter.
Yeah,
that's what he does.
Listen, I hit more putts that look like they're going in and don't go in. I don't know. When one goes in, it's a miracle.
It's fun. But, good luck to Nathaniel, Stevie. That's great.
Yeah. It's pretty exciting because it's pretty hard to play any sport past high school. It's pretty competitive out here. I got to begin with the Louisville game and the Kevin Ware and the leg that got broken. Mike, have you ever seen anything like that in your life in sports?
Well, you know, first of all, you couldn't see it immediately, and then you knew. And the thing I couldn't understand is why the Duke player was holding his, you know, had his hands over his eyes, and then I saw they showed it again, and I saw the leg when he hit, and I saw what happened. I've never seen anything like that. I mean, it happened to Theismann, but I've never really seen one. I mean, it was crazy. I mean, just to jump up to block a shot and land the way he landed and compound fracture your leg is pretty unusual.
That was a freak, really. And yeah, exactly. It's hard to figure what exactly happened.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
it did. And yeah, Joe Theismann actually tweeted too, Mike. If you saw that, he tweeted, he said, my heart goes out.
Oh, yeah, it did, yeah. even if we didn't know what happened, you know, you had to say something severe happened because the reactions of not only the players, the fans, and the coaches.
Right, right.
And Joe Theismann was tackled in a horrific way. This kid just looked like he landed on his foot.
Well, yeah. It looked like his ankle twisted, and then because it twisted out, and all the pressure was on the inside of the leg, and the bone broke. I'm not an expert. I don't know. But I thought CBS handled it really well. I really did. I mean, there was no point in showing that thing over and over again.
Yeah,
Everybody knew what happened. Everybody knew that it was severe injury, and why. You know, you don't have to show it on TV.
I agree with that, and I think it was interesting to see how well Louisville played the second half. Maybe, I don't know, maybe they're a little less tense and more perspective.
Well, they're good, I tell you guys.
They're good.
I tell you, that trap defense they use, the way they play that man-to-man trap defense. And the Duke's a good basketball team. They just they dismantled Duke, period.
Well, I tell you what, Johnny.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say the Mike and Mike pool that they have, you guys. Mike and Mike in the morning, they have 200,000 entries, and somebody picked Louisville, Wichita State, Syracuse, and Michigan.
That's
wow.
Good shooting.
Wow.
There was one guy out of 200,000. He got
that
it right.
Guy, Washington.
It's crazy how right.
What? I wonder who he picked to win.
He picked, you remember? Wichita. What?
Well, I'll tell you what, they can. I mean, no question. Obviously, you make the final four.
I'll tell you what, if anybody gets past, Syracuse is really playing well. And I
tell you,
Louisville's, I just find it hard to believe. Now, I have to say, that I don't know about you guys, but I didn't think Michigan could play that well, and they did.
Oh.
I hadn't seen that before. And then, of course, Florida was something like, I don't know, 2 for 10. And Ohio State couldn't hit. You know, they played inside Jones Stadium in Dallas, that stadium in Irvin. And I think, although Michigan was able to hit, there were some teams that couldn't even hit a free throw shooting in there. But, you know, some of that's just, you get cold. We've seen that, Steve.
Well, but I think what about the you're the engineer, Johnny. The depth perception, it does change, doesn't it?
Well, it's statistically, yeah. You lose a good third of your shooting. If you don't get used to it, you can range it in. They can play in there. But they're used to the smaller stadium. It throws your shot off, there's no doubt. Some people handle it better. But
John, let me ask you a question. In a big stadium like that, is there any consideration of wind or anything?
No, it's really not anything to do with motion, air motion. It's just that depth perception, you know, those deep corner shots. But like I say, Steve, Michigan handled it. But on average, they've got the stat on it. If you're shooting 40% as a three-point shooting team, you'll shoot 25. It's a big number that you'll do.
Whoa.
It's a big number.
It's amazing to me, guys, when you watch these games, the bottom line is if my ball goes in the basket, I generally beat you. I mean, it's just shooting, isn't it?
So much for parity. I mean, somebody, one out of 200,000, picked these four to be there. But look at the difference in the scores. I mean, look at the range. I mean, of beating a team by 22 points and Michigan beating somebody by 18 or 20.
Yeah,
Florida
was playing well, too. So it's amazing, the tournament and things like that. And I think that's why it's so popular, because anything goes. And they're really, really good efforts are made all the way around. But, Stevie, you got to make the baskets. And if you don't, you know, there's not much they can do for you. They can't give you any form points, style points.
So you got a 1 seed, 2 4 seeds, and a 9 seed. I would have been filling out a lot of brackets before I come up with the combination that came out of this thing. It's unreal.
Well, I think that's what makes fun. I think Louisville, huh, Mike? I don't know. Louisville did look
well. They said it's the first time ever that a 1 and 4 seed were playing, too. I didn't know that. But,
wow.
I mean, I don't pay attention to that. The teams that are there deserve to be there. They won the games they had to win. They played them. But if you're asking me, can anybody beat Louisville, I don't think so.
And it's just their speed. You know, they're so fast. And when you get defensive speed like that, I mean, how many times they were knocking the ball away and stealing it from a good Duke basketball team?
How about this, too, the Louisville women beating Baylor?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Both of these two teams Louisville could have two national champions in basketball in the women's and the men's. That's pretty interesting.
I don't think that's happened before.
That Baylor player is remarkable. I don't know how tall she is, but she just dominated college basketball for the women for years and years. And they just smothered her. I mean, they triple-teamed, quadruple-teamed. Everybody guarded that Baylor player, but it was quite a... The coach of Baylor is interesting, Mike. I like your philosophy of never talk to the media until an hour after the game. I think I'd been wise, because she went to the microphone and said, "All right, you ask me anything you want about referees, I'm ready for my fine. I'll ask you, I'll answer, I don't care if they fine me. Go ahead and ask me a question." I said, she should have waited, coach. She should have waited.
Well, that's not going to get her anything either. That's whether it's right or wrong, it's not going to get her. But the girl is 6'8".
Is she that tall? Oh, I didn't know she was 6'8".
Well, listen, the women are coming down here to New Orleans, Stevie. The Final Four.
Oh, awesome, 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 awesome! It's a brother Johnny in New Orleans, Mike Ditka in Naples. You're on ESPN 93.5, the new Sunny 95.3. We'll take our 2-minute break from our fine sponsors, Flooring Services, Max Twin City Recycling, and also Lance Heating and Cooling. A break. Back with Mike and Johnny in 2 minutes on ESPN 93.5, the new Sunny 95.3.
Around and you will see. The April clearance event is here at Flooring Surfaces, and we need to make room for new and exciting products. So the entire month of April, you'll save even more on our clearance and closeout material, like discontinued ceramic and porcelain tile. Take an additional 30% off already reduced prices, starting at just 48 cents per square foot. And instant savings on carpet remnants. Buy one, take $20 off. Buy two and save 50. Plus, in-stock carpet is on sale now. Choose any of 10 styles, and we'll install it with padding for $2.19 a foot or less. Ask a salesperson for details. Save big this month with some help from Flooring Surfaces. Visit Flooring Surfaces today at 401 East Mercury Drive in Champaign.
The world at your feet. Flooring Surfaces. The world at your feet.
This is Troy Lands with Lands Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing, here to remind you about our special 8 to 8 service offer. That's right, you'll get the same great rates and professional service from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday, and we'll extend this offer from 8 to 6 on Saturday. Your day doesn't end at 5 o'clock in neither of those hours. Lands Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing, 355-5512, or visit us at landsinc.com.
Sunny 95.3, Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka. 10 more minutes here in our segment for this Monday morning, first day of April. What's first day of baseball, Mike? There's something about the opening of the baseball season that it just gives us hope, and spring is here.
Well, it is. You know, it still is America's pastime, and it's really interesting. And, I mean, I don't know how you figure that thing out either. I mean, you got Boston and the Yankees and Boston playing today, and of course Houston, first game in the American League, John, they end up beating Texas. So I mean,
well, there you go. That's a good inaugural game. So yeah. And then when are our Cubbies up? When are they coming?
Hey, Johnny, today on WJEK Sunny 95.2, the Chicago Cubs at 12:30. Right here on 95.3, 12:30 for the Cubs to all your Cub friends, 162 Cub games. And, Mike, the Cubs are due.
Yeah, so am I to get, so am I to make a putt, but I don't make it.
Well,
and the Cardinals, yeah, starting fresh, are undefeated. Cardinals play tonight in Arizona. We got it on 93.5 ESPN, so it's fun. All right, a couple of things politically. They're talking about a filibuster on gun control. I talked to a friend yesterday who said, I own guns. I can't buy bullets. There are no bullets in Central Illinois. Is the government buying them or are freaked out citizens buying them, Johnny? We don't have any gun, no bullets to put in the guns.
Well, there's people buying them up. That's all. They're just supply and demand. There's no supply because the demand's so high. People have started a little side business selling bullets because they're making a fortune if you can get them. So
yeah.
it's kind of a fad thing because I think people are afraid they're going to start clamping down on what you can buy, what weapons, what ammo, so they're just running out and buying. It's a contrarian kind of a impulse that doesn't surprise me at all. Doesn't surprise me at all, but I don't think it's anything to get too excited about. Yeah, we'll see what they do in Congress. That's going to be interesting.
Well, and Mike, everybody is just talking because, listen, there's a lot of NRA money on both sides of the aisle.
I don't think anybody has an answer to this. I don't see why anybody has to have a gun that shoots 21 shots, a semi-automatic, whatever they call them. But I think you have a right to own a gun. I mean, it was part of what our Constitution was drawn up to be. And I go back again, and I'll say this. That most guns don't kill, people kill, basically. People say, well, if they didn't have a gun, they couldn't do it. I'm not sure about that. If you want to kill somebody, you're going to kill them probably. It may be a little harder to do it some other way, but I think that's the way people are. But the thing about a gun is so spontaneous, it's instant, bang, it's over.
You know, yeah, it is a little more volatile. You know, Stevie, it's always been a question, and the Second Amendment gives us the right to carry weapons because the power has to be somewhere, and in America, the power is with the people, and that includes force. So I think that's the principle behind it. But we have to be responsible with that, too. So.
Okay, another item I want to bring up, and I'm trusting both of you to straighten me out because I know I'm going to be picking on the wrong people, but... Listen, I appreciate the president's job. It's a hard job, and I don't mind them playing on vacation. They need vacations. They got to have Secret Service. But they go to Hawaii. That's fine. They go to Aspen. The president goes to Florida, plays golf. The daughters go to Bahamas, Johnny, and then they fly to Colorado for another, actually Idaho. And it's just this whole
there is no budget issue. We can't have White House tours. I would think there'd be at least more sensitivity on how things look. Am I wrong?
Well, maybe you are, maybe you aren't, but it won't matter. Obama feels like he has a responsibility to be out there, and money is no object. There is clearly money is no object to this president. And when you're talking the billion or so it cost us last year for the presidency, which is high, actually, but it costs a lot. It just against $4 trillion, it isn't a lot of money. I wouldn't do that. I don't know, Mike, whether you would do that. Because I think
you can sum it up pretty easily. When you're the president of the United States, or this administration is in power, and you don't pass a budget for, 6 years? I think that shows you that there's no respect for fiscal restraint in any way. So it doesn't matter. It's like play money right now. I mean, when you're over $16 trillion in debt, I mean, come on, man. I mean, you can't tell me they respect it. Or they, I'm not even sure they understand it. It's hard for any individual, a common individual, to comprehend when you say $16 trillion and rising, what that means. But that's pretty significant. And there's no effort. There's been no.
I think that's exactly right, Mike. There's no real comprehension. There's no real reality check.
No,
the people haven't gotten
it. It seems like it's make believe almost.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, this is what it is, but it doesn't matter.
And go ahead, Steve.
I was just going to say, Johnny, that if I'm president, I'm probably going to say, folks, this is a stressful job. I'm probably going to take a couple more breaks this year, but I just to let you know, don't feel sorry for us. But we're not going to go anywhere right now because we've got to figure out how to open the White House for tours. And we want you to know we're also conscious of the money troubles we're having here. So we're going to try and cut back a little bit as we can on the trouble, on some of the travel that we're doing. But I guess there's just no sensitivity to things look. And that's what bothers me. I think you should at least feel like that guy didn't look appropriate when I can't open a White House for these grade school kids coming from Iowa for a White House tour.
Well, and
you need to write on the button, Steve. You know, I think it's a matter of really not caring. I mean, and actually understanding the reason they don't care as politicians is because the people don't understand. The majority of the people don't understand. And I'm not knocking the people. I'm just saying it's hard for anybody to comprehend what the hell is going on.
Well, and it's just that lack of understanding or respect for money and the fact that it really just doesn't mean anything. And it's all a political game. I mean, come on, closing down the White House tour is just a cutesy kind of clever little move that really kind of makes me sick that they would do something like that, which has no impact on anything whatsoever other than it's kind of like sticking your tongue out at somebody. Come on.
That's right.
And then he goes running around. Every one of these trips could pay the White House tours for the next year. Any one of these.
If you're going to do that, then don't have the egg hunt on the White House lawn.
Right.
I mean, if you're going to do it all then.
I tell you what, I think, and again, I'm being bad. I think Michelle Obama's running a lot of this deal. I really do. I think she's running a lot of this deal. And her and Valerie Jarrett. All right, guys, we'll leave it there, but you're awesome. You're always great to have on. It's just, again, a pleasure, an honor to have both you guys, discussing the items of the day. Johnny in New Orleans, when are you coming up?
Well, I hope to be up around, Champaign later this week. Thursday anyway.
Well, all right, we'll look for you then. Mike in Naples, hit him straight, my friend.
All right, guys. Take care. God bless. I love you.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Johnny.
Mike. Good luck to
Daniel,
Stevie J.
Thanks,
careful.
Johnny. I'll let you know. Thanks so much.
Yeah, bye-bye. Uh-huh.
Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, it's on ESPN 93.5 and the new Sunday 95.3. I still can't believe that Kevin Ware story.
I'm struggling.
I'm struggling with the guy breaking his leg.
The fact that Ditka has never seen that in football. I thought surely he'd seen a compound fracture like that.
Nobody sees a bone sticking out of the skin. I'm sorry. If you just landed in this morning and didn't hear his basketball game yesterday, Louisville played Duke, and first half of the game, kid goes up, tries to block, shot comes down, and he breaks his shin bone, essentially, but it just snaps. It just doesn't make any sense. Nobody's seen it. All the players crumbled on the floor. Both coaches are crying. I mean, it was just awful.
Yeah.
And, again, as Mike said, CBS, Jim Nance and Clark Keller, they had their A-team on it. and handled it beautifully, and they stopped showing it, which was thank you. Because anytime you see something like that, I don't want to see it 150 times.
You're right.
I saw it like two times, and that's all I ever need to see it. I don't like seeing Joe Theismann when he was tackled by Lawrence Taylor, whoever that was. Don't need to see it ever again in my life because you can't forget it. It's just one of those, okay, let's go to the chalkboard and give me my fingernails. Nobody wants to see that stuff. Yeah. Nobody wants to hear it. It's just once you know about it, it's just hard to shake anyway.
Uh-huh.
Because it's just, we all know and love sports. So, okay, it's first day of April. We got Fox News ahead. Coming up, Dr. John Higgins will join us just after 8. And he says he doesn't think there should be caffeine in the energy drinks. Good luck to that one.
Okay.
As a group of 18 docs, researchers, public health experts jointly urging the FDA to take action on energy drinks to protect adolescents and kids from possible risks of consuming high amounts of caffeine. There's evidence in the published scientific literature that the caffeine levels in energy drinks pose serious potential health risks. And how many times? I was at a radio conference about 10, 12 years ago, and they're handing these cans of pop out. And I said, oh, cool, what's the name of this pop? Oh, Red Bull, huh? And I guzzled two of them.
Oh, no.
I was pretty electric for the next 24 hours.
I'll bet.
I didn't know what the stuff was. And it tastes pretty good. Oh, free, yay. And then they said, "What's, sir, what's wrong with you? Uh-huh. Would you like a doctor or an ambulance?" Yeah, what the heck? They were the tall cans.
Right.
I didn't know what the crap that was, heck they were.
Oh, my goodness.
So anyway, Dr. John Higgins will join us. There's a group of doctors in, you know how big an industry the Red Bull and the energy drinks are?
Oh, sure.
Multi-billion dollar. They got 18 docs that think they should see out. Okay, let me know how that memo goes, because that's just silly.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. I'll tell him that. And, you know, good for him. I once gave Nathaniel a Red Bull on the golf course. This is how stupid parents can be. So I gave him a little bit of Red Bull, thinking, oh, help his energy and stuff. Listen, I'm not a big Red Bull fan. When he was putting the last four holes, he could see his pulse from his wrist. His pulsating. Now, he made par the last four, so I didn't feel so bad. All right, we're coming back. We got Fox News. We'll play a one-minute break, kick the Fox News top of the hour. Come back with Dr. John Higgins. And then Diane's got an interview with... very interesting, I think, poignant subject regarding taking care of our soldiers when they come home.
Colonel Kimberly Olson.
There's a lot to that subject, and that'll be coming up next hour as well. Monday, 1st of April, Fox News in a minute. Thanks for listening. Be right back.